One of my favorite things in the Dowling House, there's a ghost cat. I've actually had
Oh.
people have this thing rub up against their legs. I've had it happen to me. And every so often, I find a little indent on the beds up in the bedroom areas where a cat appears to have circled around and settled in. I've never actually seen it, but I have people who have, and apparently it's a big orange tabby.
Do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever seen one? I'm Katie Sheehan, host of Enjoy Illinois Let's Go. And on this episode, we're going to tell you about some heavily haunted places right here in the land of Lincoln. Today's guests have seen, heard, and even felt all sorts of spooky things in towns like Alton, Decatur, Springfield, Chicago, and Galena. And you can join their guided tours and experience these paranormal chills firsthand if you dare. It's time to get supernatural, everybody. Let's go. Halloween only comes once a year, but there's never a bad time for a good scare. I know our next guest feels that way too. Troy Taylor is a prolific author specializing in the supernatural, a paranormal podcaster, and a haunted tour operator. His focus, more often than not, is right here in the land of Lincoln. Troy, welcome to Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thanks for having me on. This is a lot of fun. It's a great idea for a podcast.
So you've been doing this work for more than 30 years. How did ghost stories become your life's work?
Well, it started when I was a little kid. I can blame my family, as we can all blame our family for lots of things, but I can blame my family on my love of the supernatural and ghost stories and true crime and all of that stuff. My great grandfather was a police officer back during the Roaring 20s and the 1930s. And when he was long retired and I was a child, a young child, he loved to take me around and show me places where horrific things had happened, probably things I didn't need to hear about at that age. But he loved to tell me his ghost stories. He was an Irish immigrant, full of ghost stories. Not only his stories, but other guys he worked with, people he knew, and he'd take me to all these places. And it just stuck with me. I've been fascinated with it ever since. It scared me to death, and I think that was part of the attraction for me was
Yeah.
it was a fun way to be scared. So,
Ghost life found you.
yes, exactly. Exactly.
So you owned a bookstore, is that correct? And you did that give you a start in any path with this work?
Yeah, I mean, it did entice me to start writing that and my grandpa's stories, because these were stories about the town where I grew up in Decatur, Illinois, in the middle of the state. So, I grew up and none of these stories had ever been recorded, not just his, but any of the local lore. And I thought, I should probably do something with that before it's gone. And so I just started writing and I published my first book. And I guess you would say that, now 157 books later, I'm kind of stuck in this job. So, but luckily I love
No.
it. So, that's the good news.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so when you started writing these books, this was at a time where ghost tours weren't really existent in Illinois.
No, not really. I mean, there really weren't a whole lot of ghost tours anywhere. It was the mid 90s. And if it wasn't for a buddy of mine who said, you've written these books and, people are going to be curious where this stuff is. You should think about rent a bus or something and drive them around. And I thought, well, who's going to want to do that? But he talked me into it. And sure enough, the next thing you know, 33 years later, I'm still doing ghost tours. And now they're all over the country. Now, I'm not going to say I started them all, but as far as Illinois goes, there wasn't anything to base them on. We were really just winging it. But it was a lot of fun and people just kept coming back.
So I hear you call yourself a skeptic with an open mind. Well,
Yeah.
what does that actually mean?
Well, it means that I'm not a psychic. I don't see dead people. I don't hear dead people. I love to go to places that have a reputation for, being haunted or whatever, and just to see if maybe I'll experience something. I've been doing this for a very long time, and I've had some strange experiences, but I don't go in with the idea, oh my God, a ghost is going to get me when I get here. I go in with the idea of, you know, well, this is a good story, but who knows if there's any truth to it. And, you know, maybe something happens, maybe it doesn't. I don't know what else to think, you know, but it does make you wonder, though, if I think I've seen two ghosts and they look like living people, how many other ghosts have I seen that I don't even know about? How many do we see every day? That's right. The way I look at it. You just never know.
So I understand you had a ghostly encounter at a movie theater that you owned. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, that was the one of the ghosts I'd seen. And I knew it was a ghost because I knew the man was dead because I'd written about him. It was the old Avon Theater in Decatur, Illinois. And a friend of mine had some health issues, so I took it over for him for a while. And I'd been around the theater a lot anyway, and I knew it had a reputation for being haunted. And so I had written about it because I'd heard all these stories. And I'd heard about the original owner who, you know, died in 1965, but was still said to be around. People would sometimes say they saw him, or they'd smell his cologne, or they'd hear footsteps and things. And I great stories, but I'd never really had any weird things happen to me there. But one afternoon I was at the theater, and I was actually using the original owner's office at the time. I was sitting at the desk, was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and I heard footsteps out in the hallway. Well, I just assumed it was the projectionist because he was usually the only other person that might be there during the day. And I heard the footsteps and I heard him in the hall, and then they stopped. And then I didn't hear anything. And I thought, well, that's very strange. And then I heard the footsteps again. And I told my friend, I said, hang on a second. I want to talk to him. I'll be right back. And I put the phone down. And just as I started to get up from my desk, this man walked into the doorway of the office. He walked in, he was standing there in the doorway, had his hands in his pockets, neatly dressed, tie, shirt, sleeves, you know, trousers. And he just sort of looked around the room, never looked at me directly, sort of looked around. And then he just turned around and walked away. Now, this would not have been a big deal if I hadn't already recognized this man from photographs. He'd been dead for, at that time, like 45 years. It was the original owner. And I knew him as soon as I saw him. Well, I went over to the door and I looked down the hallway, and there's no one in the hall. So I came right back in. And first I did something. I came back in, I grabbed the phone, and I told my friend what would happen. And she said, oh my God, what did you do? And I said, well, I closed the door and I locked it. That way, if he comes back, you know, and I thought, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said. You know, he'll just walk through the door. But I didn't even have a chance to be scared. Well, until after.
Didn't scream or anything?
No. I was a little, I was a little unnerved. But it happened so fast that I wasn't unnerved until after I sat back down. So
when you saw him, was he transparent?
No.
No.
He looked like he was completely solid and alive. Whoa. But I knew he wasn't because I recognized him. But I, if you had asked me, if I had not known who he was, I would have thought someone had broken into the building.
So what do you think causes an encounter like that?
Well, I think that, you know, and again, no one knows for sure. We have lots and lots of theories, that the same theories we've had for couple hundred years. So, you know, we really haven't gotten anywhere with that. But the theory is that, you know, he loved this place so much that his spirit decided to stick around. He was devoted to the place. And so here he is, he's still here after all this time, sort of watching over it. And that was what we always used to joke about and say, oh, well, it's okay, because Gus is watching over things.
You have any tips for people who are really scared out of their mind and, you know, maybe don't want to see a ghost?
Don't like go me? Into abandoned buildings that are supposed to be haunted. That would all be right. Your best.
Taking note.
Yeah. Yeah, take a note of that.
Yeah, I'm a fraidy cat right over here. So I'm curious, who shows up to your tours? Is it the true believers? Is it skeptics? Or is it people who are looking to be a little creeped out, a little scared?
It's honestly a little of everybody. You know, we'll get people who come that are just diehard believers or, you know, aficionados anyway of ghosts in the spirit world. And then you have the people who don't really want to be there. They got drugged along by somebody else. So that's where the history part of it is so important, because then that will, you know, give them something to be entertained by. But we also get a lot of people who just want to come, you know, maybe it's spooky season or it's Halloween and they think, oh, you know, a ghost tour. Or they, you know, they hear about Alton, you know, being one of the most haunted small towns in America. And, oh, well, I should go on a ghost tour then. I feel obligated to do that, you know. And then we do get people who are looking for a thrill. I mean, they're looking for something scary to happen. And, you know, sometimes it does.
Alton keeps coming up as a one of the most haunted small towns in America, not just in Illinois, in America. So what is it about Alton that keeps it real creepy?
Alton has just a really interesting history as far as, you know, traumatic and bad things, epidemics, floods, fires. We had a prison during the Civil War, so we had, you know, literally hundreds of people died there during the war. It was the Illinois State Penitentiary before that. I mean, Illinois, or Alton rather, was at one time the largest city in the state. So we had a really heavy traffic on the Mississippi. So you combine all those things, plus we're sitting on top of all of these limestone bluffs, and, you know, and so there's all these different ingredients, and you mix them together and you've got this, you know, ghostly gumbo, so to speak, of all of these things that sort of interact. And it makes it really interesting to find the old houses where, you know, people from the past linger behind, the old hotels, the old buildings, the old department stores. And you've got all of these events from the past that just keep coming back over and over again. And I think that its history really is what makes Alton such a haunted place.
All right. So you got your start in Decatur and you've written extensively about it. Make the case for Decatur as a haunted destination.
Well, Decatur is right in the very middle of the state. At one time, every railroad track in the state ran through Decatur. And so you have a lot of people coming through town. And again, a lot of history, you know, we dated back to the 1820s. And you've got connections with Abraham Lincoln, and you've got, you know, the train stations, all of the railroad lines, our old levee district where, you know, was filled with true crime and all kinds of murders and happenings. And so, again, it's the history. It's always going to come back to the history. But Decatur at one time was known as the kidnap capital of the United States.
What?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah, they used to, because of all the railroads, a lot of people would get kidnapped and then they would drop the ransom, the people off in Decatur. So you had a lot of crime. It was a pretty wide open town during Prohibition and things. So yeah, my connections with all the crime and all the ghost stories in Decatur go back a very long way. And, you know, one of the first ghost stories I'd ever heard about had been the guy, he'd been the head of the Wabash Detective Police in town for the railroad, and he'd been murdered. And the story was, is that people used to see this ghostly light following along the railroad tracks behind the station, and that it was his ghost, and he was kind of retracing his route. And it was always a good story. But what made the story so good for me was that my grandfather not only knew the guy who'd been murdered, but had seen his ghost. And so had all his buddies who would tell me about their own ghost stories. So, yeah, I locked in with hauntings in Decatur pretty young.
So. Yeah, sounds like it. Whoa. Do people actually, I mean, is it a tourist attraction to come see the haunted aspects of certain cities?
It has become one. You know, early on when I was doing this, no one knew what to think of the ghost tours and things. They didn't know what to make of it. It wasn't until, you know, tourism really started to build up downstate, you know, when you had towns like Alton or Decatur and some of the other, you have these big industries and they just sort of died out, you know, things changed over time. And so the more that stuff closed, the more we've needed tourism to make things happen. And they finally have started to accept the fact that ghost paranormal tourism is a thing. And now, you know, I'll find it. It's so much easier to do things these days with, you know, when you've got the tourism people behind you going, ooh, come see our ghosts or come see our haunted places. Come hear our stories. So 33 years later, I'm still doing the same ghost tours I started doing, you know, all those years ago, because people will come back. They just keep coming back to see what's new, to see what we've added, to see what ghosts are or stories that we're telling now. So
stay in haunted places too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And visit haunted places as far as just buildings and locations that are inside haunted places. I mean, our museum is inside an old department store that has been haunted since the 1930s. And we even had we had to call the police recently because someone thought that someone had broken into the building because the empty part upstairs, we heard footsteps walking around, and the owner of the building called the police thinking that someone had broken in. Nope. Just the ghosts.
Oh man. So Abraham Lincoln and the supernatural, there's apparently a lot to unpack there. Can you give us the highlights?
Yeah. We put together our Springfield Hauntings tour with that in mind. I started writing about Lincoln, maybe 20 years ago or so, and started writing about his connections to the supernatural and, you know, the seances that went on in the White House. And while a lot of that wasn't Lincoln himself, it was Mary, but she was a devout believer in seances and spiritualism. And Lincoln himself had some odd connections to the afterlife and to, you know, things like premonitions and dreams that he had, and would talk about the odd visions that he experienced. And there are a lot of stories that connect Lincoln to the spirit world. And it's not a part of his history that a lot of people like to talk, at least the mainstream people like to talk about, but you know, the civilians, we all love it, you know? And so I get, you know, I'll do a lecture or something about Lincoln and in the spirit world, and man, we fill it up every single time because people are fascinated with Lincoln, and that's what brings a lot of people to, obviously, to Springfield. But it's not a part that you can't just drive over to Springfield and tap into Lincoln's ghost stories, but you can go on a tour and you can hear about them, or, you know, read one of the books or whatever. But yeah, no, Lincoln is definitely, I always call him our most haunted president.
Well, what about Springfield beyond Lincoln? What's the haunted story in Springfield, my hometown?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There are plenty of ghost stories, but besides the Lincoln home, which is reputed to be haunted. I'm not supposed to say that it is, because the National Park Service does not promote it as being haunted, but a lot of former staff members will tell their stories about things they've encountered there, things they've seen moving around. The same way it goes with Lincoln's monument and tomb at Oak Ridge Cemetery, also said to be haunted. But my favorite haunting in Springfield is the Dana Thomas House. Because, well, not only is it a beautiful house and it's a Frank Lloyd Wright house, but a lot of people don't know that Susan Lawrence Dana, who the house was built for, was a spiritualist and held seances there on a regular basis. So anytime you hear any ghost stories about it, she probably conjured them up somehow, or at least invited them to drop by, and maybe some of them haven't left. But that's my favorite haunted place in Springfield.
All right. So Chicago is in a category of its own, I know. So without going too deep, is there one story that really captures the essence of why it belongs on any haunted Illinois itinerary?
Resurrection Mary. That's all you need to know. Southwest side of Chicago is a ghost who travels along Archer Avenue. And it's said that many, many people over the years have picked her up in their cars, and it says that she needs a ride and disappears from the car in front of Resurrection Cemetery on Archer.
Oh my gosh, I got the chills.
It's a classic vanishing hitchhiker story. But what makes Mary unique is, it's not like normally when you hear these stories, it's a friend of a friend of a friend of mine's cousin had this. In this case, there are real names, real people, real places, all these people who swear they picked her up and maintained that story for the rest of their lives. And so she was linked to what used to be the old Willowbrook Ballroom, which unfortunately burned down a few years ago, tragically, because it was a really cool place. But Archer Avenue is still there. Chet's Melody Lounge is still there. If you're one of those people and you're out driving around at night hoping you'll see Resurrection Mary, you can stop by Chet's and get a Bloody Mary. They specialize in them there, and they'll tell you all their ghost stories. But it is my favorite story from anywhere in the Chicago region.
I mean, I really got the chills multiple times you talking about that. So she would get in the car and like talk to people. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. Doesn't talk a lot, but she will talk. She will tell them where she needs to go. She doesn't ever say, take me to the cemetery. She'll just say, I need to head up the road, and then tell them where to stop. And then they'll pull over and realize they're parked in front of the cemetery. And she'll either disappear. Sometimes she gets out of the car, walks toward the cemetery gates, and disappears through them. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stories, and a lot of people who have sworn, you know, I mean, real names of real people who swore that they've encountered her. So it's always an interesting. Anytime I'm up that way, I've got to take a quick trip down, you
look
know,
for
at
a hitchhiker
least around
man.
The area. Yeah. Look for a hitchhiker.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, Troy.
Well, that's not always a good idea, right?
Yeah. All right. So I want to give our listeners some practical advice. Do you have any entry-level tour that's designated for newbies?
Yes. I would send people either to our Haunted Decatur tour, which is our original. It's been around for a long time. And it's a bus tour that goes around the city. It takes about 3 hours. We get on and off the bus all night. You get to go to places firsthand. We also have a walking tour down in Alton. I mean, we do a lot of things. We do dinner tours and pub crawls, but we also do a walking tour that's a pretty much all ages kind of tour. And so people can walk around the downtown area of Alton, see the places, go into the places, and hear all the ghost stories. So I would recommend either of those for somebody just starting out or anybody who just wants to have a really good time, whether it's spring, summer, or fall.
Okay. What other kinds of tours and experiences do you offer for people who maybe want to go a little deeper?
Well, we also do dinner tours that travel up the Great River Road to Grafton, and we mix in Alton and Grafton in between. We also have pub crawls that take people to haunted pubs around town, and which is always so fun. And we also do a lot of dinner and just events at the American Oddities Museum in Alton. And we have a whole level of the building that's nothing but an event space. And so I talk about everything from haunted Abraham Lincoln to you name it. I mean, we talk about all kinds of stuff, do all kinds of events, all kinds of dinner things. People stop by the American Oddities Museum, which I wish I could describe to you in one line. I can't really. It is just a museum of the weird. We have a lot of local history and Illinois history stuff and artifacts and relics. And then we have a lot of very weird things. Death and dying rituals, mourning tables, mourning photographs, pens with faces on them, art made out of hair. It's a lot of fun. And it's, you know, it's something that it brings a lot of people to town, which is really what we want. So.
Where is it? Where the American,
the American Oddities Museum is located, right on Highway 67 and Piazza Street, right in downtown Alton. And, it's really easy to find, and it is, it's an experience.
What about the tours? Are they family friendly? Are kids welcome?
Yeah, as long as it's not a pub crawl, obviously.
Okay, well, yeah.
But yeah, we do. The museum is mostly kid friendly. Most of it is. The tours definitely are. So we definitely have those open to all ages for sure.
Yeah. Okay. And what about accessibility? Are there experiences for people with mobility concerns or who can't do a walking tour?
The museum is accessible. The walking tour, believe it or not, the walking tours are pretty accessible. They're not absolute, but they're pretty close. The bus tours always are. So people can easily get, you know, on and off the bus. So that works out well.
Gotcha. All right, Troy. Well, this has been such a blast. Also a little spooky, which was what we're going for.
Right, exactly.
So to learn more about the tours, the American Oddities Museum, special events, and Troy's books, head to AmericanHauntingsInc.com. That's AmericanHauntingsInc.com. And if you ever want more Troy in your life, check out the American Hauntings podcast, available wherever you listen. Troy, thank you so much for joining
us.
Sure,
yeah, absolutely. Thanks
giving
for
me the chills, making me a little scared here on Enjoy Illinois. Let's go. In our previous segment, we spoke with paranormal expert Troy Taylor about haunted happenings all across the land of Lincoln. Now we're going to drill down on one city in particular, Galena, and a tour company that guides visitors to the spookiest spots in this heavily haunted town. Ted Williams, welcome to Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thanks, Katie. Pleasure to be here. Hi, everybody.
So, Ted, you and your wife, Robin, have been running the Haunted Galena Tour Company for quite some time. How did you become a haunted tour operator?
You know, I love the history of Galena, and I love especially the history that's attached to known haunts here in town. So when we had a chance to begin taking visitors on tours and explaining those two things together, combining the history with the haunts and seeing the thrill that it imparted, We were in. It's so much fun to do. And so it's something we get up every day looking forward to delivering. And we hope everyone can come out here and experience our haunted and quaint little city.
That's a pretty interesting background, and good to know you didn't really major in ghosts and hauntings in college.
Actually, I was more anthropology and mythology and folklore. My wife, however, Robin, did major in history, and that's been very useful.
So what do you like so much about Galena?
You know, number one, it's a small town. If you walk through the 8 blocks of downtown, you would swear there's probably 15, 20,000 people here. Oh, no. There's 3,000 people. We're all up in everybody else's business. But it's so charming and it's so historic. Much of the infrastructure from the 1850s is still intact here. So this place has been described as a beach town without a beach or a college town without a college. And I think it kind of lives up to that too a little bit. But for us, we love the history and we love the haunts. And those are exciting attributes of Galena too. And a lot of people come here for that.
Yeah, about 1 million visitors a year come to Galena.
A million visitors plus a year come through. So it's a pretty robust environment. Generally, especially in summer, we try to encourage folks to make reservations. It'll make life a lot easier for you.
So 1 million visitors a year. How many thousands come on the ghost tours?
You know, that's a really great question. We service about 10,000 people a year as far as our numbers go. And that keeps us pretty busy. We run May through the end of October, and we do have one tour that runs year round called the Spirits and Spirits Tour. We also do some performances inside the DeSoto Hotel, which is the oldest continually operated hotel in the state of Illinois. We do a show there called Murder and Mayhem in a Mining Town. It's essentially an indoor version of our ghost tour, but we run that all winter long, and that's really fun too.
Nice. So I understand you've had some ghostly experiences at the Dowling House. Can you tell us what's happened to you in there?
I can. The Dowling House is actually, I'm in the gift shop for the Dowling House right now. It's right next door. It's an old stone building. It's the oldest tour home in Galena, built in 1826. If my information is correct, it's actually the oldest freestanding stone house in the state of Illinois. There are other older structures, but they're not made out of stone. So that makes it exciting. Now, the Dowling House is a tour home. We do historic tours through it throughout the summer. And it gets creepy. One of my favorite things in the Dowling House, there's a ghost cat. I've actually had people have this thing rub up against their legs. I've had it happen to me. And every so often, I find a little indent on the beds up in the bedroom areas where a cat appears to have circled around and settled in. I've never actually seen it, but I have people who have, and apparently it's a big orange tabby.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So is the cat who's whispered to you, pulled your hair, things like that? What else has happened?
You know, the cat hasn't done all that, but there is entities in there that certainly have shouted and touched and pushed. One night I had a group inside the Dowling House and I was kind of coming to the end. I had 3 girls that were still inside the house. The rest had gone out on the veranda. All of a sudden, from the dark side of the room, something shouted my name. And it was really loud. It said, "Ted." I thought somebody on the tour was kind of playing a joke on me, right? So I turned the lights on. There was nobody off in that dark corner. And the 3 girls who witnessed this ran out of the room. It was pretty creepy. Another thing that happens is things move around. There's an old chandelier in the Dowling. One day I went in and looked up, and this thing was literally rocking back and forth. Went on for 10 minutes without getting any slower. You'd have to see it in there. It's really, really locked up. There's no open windows. There's no, you know, drafts or anything. So yeah. That was a really odd phenomenon. And that gave me I got goosebumps and ran out after that.
So do you embrace these like ghostly moments, or do you get scared yourself?
There have been times where I've been really frightened in spaces where, you know, there's really strong presence, and I just don't feel terribly good about it. The building I'm talking in now, one day we were doing a over the winter investigation. One of the women was using a pendulum, and it started behaving very erratically and just, you know, defying the laws of physics. That was creepy enough, you know. So those sort of things, you generally kind of step back a little bit because that can be really frightening. I do believe in all this stuff because, quite frankly, the neat thing about Galena, it's a small town, right?
Yeah.
But we get the 1.5 million people through here a year, and we keep getting the same reports over and over again about the same phenomenon. That actually lends to some of the idea that this isn't made up stuff. It's really happening, right? So so if you're coming here and looking for a paranormal experience, there's a good chance if you're in the right spot, you might just encounter it.
Yeah, I haven't had that happen yet, thankfully for me, because I'm a little bit of a wimp. But maybe next time I'm there, when I go on your tour, it may happen.
We'll look forward to it. We'll take you to the absolute worst offenders.
Okay, good. Yeah, I guess let's try to make it happen. So I'd love to go deep talking about your tour and the different stops. When does it start and how does it start?
Well, the tour that is our most popular is called the Haunted Galena Ghost Walk, and it runs May through the end of October. And tours run every night except we're dark on Monday and Tuesday, but Wednesday through Sunday, 8 o'clock. On Saturday nights, sometimes Sunday, if it's busy, we'll add second 8:30 tours as well. And so it starts right here in the building I'm standing in. This is called the Manual Building. It's the gift shop for the Dowling House, but it was also the very first tombstone factory in the state or in the city of Galena. And so because of that, it's got a pretty good haunted pedigree as well. But we begin here and we end up walking about a block up where there was a rather horrible event that happened where a gentleman who had just been married on this particular day, had met the woman of his dreams. He actually worked at a local leather shop called the Grant and Perkins Leather Shop. And having been to Galena, you might recognize that. It's a leather shop owned by Ulysses S. Grant's family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's coming back from his wedding. His wife goes ahead to set up their lodging for the night. He's walking now, taking his minister home to drop him off at the parsonage, and now is coming back to be with his new bride on his wedding night. But as he's walking along, from the bottom of a hill, a rather inebriated blacksmith starts yelling at him and accuses him basically of running around town bad-mouthing him, saying that he's been saying bad things about him and that he's going to get even, pulls out a clasp knife and charges this man, whose name, by the way, is McCarty, right? Well, McCarty isn't defenseless. He happens to have a gun. He pulls out a gun and fires a warning shot. And then that doesn't stop this blacksmith. He fires another shot. That hits this guy, the blacksmith, in the shoulder and doesn't stop this blacksmith. He charges forward and stabs out, stabbing poor McCarty on the inside of the groin, severing his femoral artery. And within 2 minutes, he bleeds out up on this street. Long story short, they arrest Bat Howe and send him to jail for life for murder. And poor McCarty that night is delivered to his new bride, a corpse.
Oh, wow.
And it is said to this very day, the ghost of McCarty is still seen staggering down Bench Street, still desperately attempting to get home to his new bride on his wedding night.
Oh, goodness. Yes. So is there a certain time of day you see McCarty more likely? Is it at night usually?
Actually, dusk to early evening. So, and that actually makes sense. His time of death was around 5 p.m., 6 p.m. So that puts it right in that window. So we see we've captured what appear to be pictures of him in the distance walking down the street. Mm-hmm. I haven't, but I've had people send them to me, and it's pretty creepy. I'm like, wow.
Oh.
So
oh my gosh,
he is definitely out there, which is a neat thing.
All right, Ted, tell us about the Old Market House and the story of Mary Ann Miller.
Oh, the Old Market House is one of our most frightening stops. If you're on tour, this place was a place where a woman with maybe a drinking problem and a little combative was locked into a jail cell in the basement of the building. Overnight, it rained like crazy. The river jumps its banks and the building floods. She dies. She drowns in the basement of the building. Now, today, the building is haunted by the ghost of Mary Ann Miller. And you can actually go up to the building. It's a public building. Look around. She's been seen in the windows. There's a stairway in the back that you can go down that ends right where she died in her cell. Give a knock on the door. We've had all kinds of frightening things happen, including being knocked back on and screams coming from within the building. It's a really cool stop.
Scary Mary Ann. Okay, how does the tour end?
The tour ends at the DeSoto House Hotel. Now, the DeSoto House Hotel for years has been haunted by an apparition known as the Lady in Black. She wears the black dress, black veil, black gloves, and she haunts the basement of the DeSoto. She's been seen by both staff and visitor alike. We believe that she was connected to a group of Civil War soldiers who were killed on their way to the front during the war early on in 1861. And is still down there today, waiting for her sweetheart to return. And again, she's spotted going through walls, and she's been photographed a number of times as well. But bear in mind that the Lady in Black is only one of many apparitions that haunt the storied DeSoto House Hotel. It's well worth a visit.
Yeah, so you never know who you're going to see and if they're real.
Indeed.
So it does sound like guests often have encounters with ghosts or spirits on your tours.
Yeah, they do. And a lot of times just in old B&Bs or hotels, you know, it's frankly kind of hard to find a building in Galena where someone didn't die. So a lot of these buildings still have residual spirits that are still trying to interact with the living, and people staying here encounter them. And so, yes, a lot of people that visit here and a lot of people on tour have had paranormal experiences. Now, can I promise you you're going to have that? I sure can't. But we're going to do the best. And on a good night, it'll be pretty fun.
So I know you also offer a tour called Spirits and Spirits, as in ghosts and drinks. That's cool. Tell us about that.
Ghosts and drinks just go together. I'm not sure why, but we all love to have a drink and talk ghosts. And that's what this tour does. It starts at the DeSoto House Hotel. We cover the Lady in Black and a few other of the ghostly inhabitants. By the way, the Lady in Black at the DeSoto is only one of many spirits that haunt the DeSoto. So we cover a couple more in there. And then we have a Lady in Black martini, which is quite delicious, a little bit on the sweet side, but really good. Mm-hmm. That's a good start. Everyone then is happy. And we make our way down the street. Our next stop is actually Galena Sellers Winery. There we have one of their wine offerings. And we talk about that building, which is a really haunted place here in Galena. It was actually the site of the very first funeral home in the state of Illinois. Many thousands of people were prepared for burial within the walls of that building, and there have been countless experiences in it. We cover it in investigations during our conference, and it always produces a lot. That's a fun one, too. You have a little wine, and we cover that. And then our final one is Gort's Brew House, which was the Furlong Funeral Chapel. Up to like 10 years ago, they sold it to the Brew folks, and they built a new funeral home out by Greenwood Cemetery. So as a again, it was, 1965 to the, 10 years ago, it was the Furlong Funeral Chapel, excuse me. And so, again, another haunted site here in town. So you get a drink at each one of those spots. We tell you the haunts that the staff and people there have experienced and sample some of their boozy wares. It's just a lot of fun. It's 4 o'clock on Saturdays. It's our most popular tour because it's only once a week. And so the space is limited to about 30 people, and it sells out kind of well ahead of time. Usually with that one, I'd say, you want to think ahead on it. Again, booze and booze, very popular.
Booze and booze. Yeah, I like that. Well, I love Galena. I think it's just a great town, and there's so many great restaurants. There's so many great places to shop. I love the popcorn shop on Main Street. How would you describe Galena to somebody who has never been there?
You know, it's almost very much like a European village. The landscape, number one, know this. Out in Illinois, Iowa, people are expecting flat cornfields. This is an area called the Driftless Region. The glaciers couldn't knock us down. It was so hilly and so rugged. The glaciers literally melted around us and didn't flatten this area. So it's incredibly hilly and beautiful with lots of limestone cliffs, really unique plants and animals. And it's a beautiful natural area. But then you have this little town that time kind of forgot. Most of the, as you could testify, most of the buildings here are between 1825 to 1865, and they're all still intact. Quite frankly, Galena kind of went into a period of decline after the Civil War, and there just wasn't people here to tear it down. And so by the time we get into a renewal in the 70s, when people started buying up these old buildings, oftentimes for back taxes, $500, $1,000, oftentimes still fully furnished with stuff that was in it in 1850 when the people left. I mean, those kind of things are you don't see that anymore, but that's what happened here. Pretty soon it became a more and more of a tourist destination. And frankly, today, I think it's a romance destination. It's a great place to bring your significant other and just cuddle up with a book and a bottle of wine and enjoy yourself for a weekend. It's just got this great vibe to it. And so there's also quite a bit of entertainment, obviously ghost tours. We have a magician named P.T. Murphy here who's very good. One of my favorite things to do, goat treks. You walk with these baby goats up in the high country.
It did that. Cool. Yeah, I did that at the end of March. I loved it.
Wasn't it fun? It's hard to tell people and not sound a little weird, but it really is one of the funnest things here to do. So,
and what about Halloween in Galena? I happened to be there around Halloween, and I could not believe the crowd that was coming in for the big Halloween parade.
The Halloween parade is usually the Saturday before Halloween. And so it's the biggest event of the year. And last year it drew about 32,000 people. Our main street's really practically 6-7 blocks long. And so cramming that many people up and down the streets, I mean, they literally get rid of all the cars and the whole town is turned over for this parade. And they have hot air balloons that go down and blow like the flames up from their burners. They have floats that people do that are extraordinarily elaborate in some cases. It's kind of, it's our Mardi Gras. And so it's a lot of fun. That one, you definitely want to think ahead and make reservations because it is the busiest weekend in town. But everyone should experience it, right? Because it really is a lot of fun. So this year is going to be especially busy because Halloween is on a Saturday this year, and it's the last Saturday of the, obviously the month. We may have 50,000 people turn out for that. Wow. So get ready.
Yeah. All right. Is there a best time to visit or is there a best time to take your tours?
You know, that's a great question too. Anytime is good, but what I would say is this. Our busiest months are June, July, and August because the families are out of school and the kids come with. And this year, I think we're going to be really, really busy. So midweek will help alleviate a little bit of that busyness for you. In September and October, it's so pretty here. The leaves change, right? And it's a great time of year. But everybody comes on Saturday. So if you can at all manage to get here Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, try doing that. You'll be glad you did.
So after more than 20 years of doing these ghost tours, what keeps it fresh for you?
You know, what keeps it fresh for me is sharing the history and the haunts of this wonderful city with the people who aren't really terribly familiar with it. So they'll come here and they're curious and obviously they want to know about it. But after they're done with the tour, I think you get a really good sense of what built this place and what it was like historically and what things can happen here in terms of a paranormal, event. And all of that is in play. So I think that's really a neat thing. The other thing that I really like, it's a romantic destination, right? We get so many couples here and we love that, right? But it's generally the woman that will say, I want to go on a ghost tour. And the husband or the significant other is like, oh, all right, I'll do it. And by the end of the tour, the guy is totally fanboyed. It's like, oh, and they're all excited, right? So I love it when that happens, too, because it's not what they're thinking. And it's really a lot of fun. So It's for everyone. And also kids, we're kid friendly and family friendly. We will moderate and temper our material to make sure that if we have little folks, middle school kids, that we use language that's appropriate, but we can still convey the nature of the hauntings doing that. And that way everyone's guaranteed a good time too. We do have a 7-year-old age limit for the tours. We talk about some pretty gnarly murders and those sort of things. So 7 and up, but other than that, they're welcome. We love it when they come.
Yeah. Well, these are some awesome insights, Ted. Next time I'm in Galena, I am coming on your tour.
We would absolutely love to have you. I would even add some material for you just to, there's some more stuff we haven't talked about. And I think you'd be really, really impressed. I think it'd be a fun time. So I look forward to meeting you.
All right. Well, to book any of the experiences we've discussed today, head to hauntedgalenatourcompany.com. And while you're in Galena, stop into A Darkness Lovely on North Main Street. Ted's wife, Robin, runs this retail shop where you'll find books, art, gifts, and tickets to the tours. Ted, thanks again so much for joining us on Enjoy Illinois. Let's go.
Thanks so much, Katie. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to Enjoy Illinois, Let's Go, produced by the Illinois Office of Tourism. I'm your host, Katie Sheehan, and we hope to see you soon here in the land of Lincoln. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and pretty much anywhere you like to listen. When you're ready to start exploring, head to enjoyillinois.com, your one-stop shop for trip inspiration, destination guides, and much more.